Hi, this is Andrew Phillips. Thank you for downloading the Graymere Church of Christ Sermon Podcast. If you have any questions or if you'd like to contact us, check out our website at graymere.com. We'd also love for you to visit with us in a worship service. You're always welcome at the Graymere Church of Christ.
From Ephesians chapter 6, verses 1 through 4. Ephesians 6, 1 through 4. Children, obey your parents in the Lord, because this is right. Honor your father and mother, which is the first commandment with a promise, so that it may go well with you and that you may live a long life in the land. Fathers, do not stir up anger in your children, but bring them up in the training and instruction of the Lord.
It's always good when the events around our culture focus on something biblical. And as we think about today, as we think about Mother's Day, we're reminded of the biblical principle of giving honor where honor is due. And so I'm thankful for that focus. I know that's a special time there for many here today. You're spending time with family, planning to eat together and to spend time together. That's a wonderful thing. We're so thankful for what mothers do for us day in and day out. And it's good to recognize that and to celebrate that. And so if Mother's Day is what has brought you here to celebrate with family, we're grateful for that. And those who are mothers, we're thankful for you. We also know that this can be a tough day for a lot of us for different reasons. Maybe it has to do with a recent loss that you've experienced. Maybe wanting to be a mother and that hasn't worked out the way you'd hope. Maybe your relationship with your mother isn't everything you've wanted it to be. Whatever the case is, we also want you to know if today is a tough day for you, we are thankful that you're here. Thank you for making the choice to join us in worship. We understand and see you and know what that feels like. And so we just want you to know how thankful we are that you're a part of our worship assembly. And all of us, no matter what our situation in life, I think are going to benefit as we continue through this series and really reflect on the nature of family. Now, from a very early age, we're able to recognize voices. We live in a world with a lot of noise, with a lot of different sounds going around us. But in 2016, a study actually showed that children can identify the voice of their mother with extremely high accuracy. So now that doesn't mean that children always listen to their mother with extremely high accuracy. That's not what I did growing up, but I could recognize that with extremely high accuracy, you knew the sound of your mother's voice. In fact, even from an early, early stage, even in childhood development, even in the womb, children can respond to the voice of their mother. It's amazing. But there was a more recent study done by the Stanford School of Medicine that might reveal why that tends to change. Have you noticed as we grow older, we start looking for other voices? And we've been talking about how we develop our identities and who we are. And I thought it was interesting to read that using some MRI brain scans to try to find responses to different voices, they have developed what they believe is an explanation for starting at age 13. It seems that the brains of children, the brains of teenagers, start registering voices differently than they did beforehand. And so the study author, the lead author, said, just as an infant knows to tune into her mother's voice, an adolescent knows to tune into novel voices. In other words, there's a part in our growth where we start looking beyond and looking for new voices, new influences. What can I understand? What can I find out in new places? I thought that was interesting. Now, I want to be very, very clear, because I don't want to make any parents mad on Mother's Day. This is not an excuse to not listen to the voice of your parents. I think Scripture's pretty clear about that. Proverbs chapter 1 begins in the very first chapter of Proverbs by saying, don't neglect the teachings of your father or your mother. You need the teachings of your parents. But I share this to illustrate the temptation that we face to start tuning into novel voices, listening to different sources of wisdom. And what you find out as you grow up, and there are many of us who can attest to this, you start looking back and you realize, as an adult, you know, I really should have been listening to my parents' voices all along. They knew more than I thought they did. I didn't give them enough credit for what they know. And so it's important for us as we think about what it means to live in this world, to have an identity that stands out, it's important for us to reflect on the voices that we listen to. We've been going through a series called Identity Issues. We've been thinking about what it means when we decide to stand up for our faith, and sometimes that will cause us to stand out. And so over the last several weeks, we've really tried to dig deeply into what it means to have an identity that's modeled after Christ. It's always been a challenge to be a faithful follower of God. It's always meant I'm submitting what my desires might be to the will of God. How can I do that more effectively? And you may remember that even though it's easy for us to forget this in the world we live in today, we talked about the fact that our identity is not something we discover. It's not something I look at in my heart and I'm helpless to do anything about it. It's something that's determined by God. It's something that I decide what I'm going to dwell on, what's going to be in my mind, what's going to be in my heart. And it's challenging in the world we live in today because so many would say, really, you've just got to follow your heart, what's already there, follow that desire. And so you might remember that we spent some time last week looking at a graph that Allison Clanton has shared with us and that I think is a helpful framework for us. All of us have to deal with thoughts and feelings and actions, and we love it when things are all consistent, when we're right there in the middle, right? When we've got the thoughts and the feelings and the actions all working with us. But as we were reminded in Romans 12 tells us, I'm going to have to renew my mind to know the will of God. I'm going to have my thoughts molded by Scripture so I can determine my actions. Sometimes my feelings will be consistent with that. Sometimes they won't. Sometimes I'll have to struggle with really difficult feelings when it comes to living out what I know God's Word teaches. The reason I bring those things up is today we're asking the question, how do we speak truth, God's truth, in a world that's confused about families? And I don't just mean necessarily what makes up a family, but how families should act. We live in a culture that is pretty conflicted about how families should treat each other. So I want us to do just a thought experiment today, just to sort of get us in the mindset of trying to understand how we should mold our lives and our families. There's sort of an old trope that shows up in a lot of books or movies where you might have someone who comes from outer space, someone who's an alien that comes and tries to live among human beings. And they're trying to blend in, and they're trying to act like all the human beings around them. And that's often a source for comedy, and we sort of think about how funny it is not to know what to do, and to try to act like everyone else. Just imagine if you had come from somewhere else and you're moving in right here in 21st century America, and you're wanting to blend in with the families that we see around us, what would the strategies be to blend in? When we watch TV and we see families on TV, what would our strategy be if we were trying to live like them? How would we talk to each other? How would we treat each other? What would we try to show the outside world? Have you ever thought about that? We have a lot of confusion about what family life is like and a lot of competing voices to listen to. And it could be really easy for us to listen to all these different voices that seem to speak with authority and people that have followings and books and YouTube subscribers, and maybe they're the ones to teach us how to live. This morning, I'd like for us to go back to Ephesians chapter 6. We've already read it, but it's important to realize in the time in which this is written, Paul's writing by inspiration, but he's writing it in a form that was known in the ancient world as a household code. There were other voices then that were saying, this is how families should live. This is how you live in your household. And yet we have something that would have been distinct from the culture then, just like it's distinct from our culture now when it talks about family relationships. So if you haven't already turned to Ephesians 6, I hope that you will. And we're just going to look through this passage and ask the question, how do we recognize Christian families? In a world of confusion, how do we recognize godly families? What does Paul tell us by inspiration we need to keep in mind? And so we start with verse 1. Children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. That's my Mother's Day gift to mothers here, a reminder to children, right? We need to obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. But notice where this is grounded in verse 2. Honor your father and mother, which is the first commandment with the promise, so that it may be well with you and that you may live long on the earth. In your translation, that may be in all caps. If that's done, that's often because they're pointing you back to an Old Testament passage. Paul is quoting one of the Ten Commandments here. And then in verse 4, specifically addressed to fathers, although I think we could apply it equally, fathers and mothers, do not provoke your children to anger, but bring them up in the discipline and instruction of the Lord. Fathers had a special responsibility then, as they do in the Lord. Christian fathers are to be leaders in their household, and so they were called not to provoke children to anger. And yet, obviously, I think as we look at the responsibility of parenting, both mothers and fathers want to lead their children in that way. So how do we recognize godly families? What do we look for? Very simply, here are a few elements that we see here that I think might cause us to stand out from our culture, and therefore, it might be good for us to be reminded this morning of just what it's going to take to be different. The first is honor. How do we treat each other? I've already mentioned the fact that it's going to be hard to flip through the channels and find examples of functioning families where there's not a lot of sarcasm, where there's not a lot of vitriol back and forth and getting on each other, some selfishness. Typically, children are more when you watch TV shows, they're wiser than the adults, right? They're usually the ones who know what's going on. A lot of times the parents are kind of clueless. That's sort of the world that we see around us. But when we read Ephesians chapter 6, we're reminded our families are to be characterized by honor. And again, it's significant that this was an essential part of the life of Israel in the Old Testament, part of the Ten Commandments. And the idea of honor, especially in the Hebrew language, carries with it a sense of weight, a sense of heaviness. When something matters in life, sometimes we'll say it's a weighty matter. It's a heavy matter. Not everything that is heavy or weighty is bad. There are a lot of good things in life that are weighty. And this concept of honor is a heavy thing. The historian Josephus said that according to Jewish law, honor to parents ranks second only to honor to God. Now just think about that for a moment. In a world where it's really not popular to honor just about anyone, we're reminded that honor to parents is essential, second only to honor for God. And we remember when the Ten Commandments is given, the Ten Commandments is given to the nation of Israel, but it's also given to adults who were there. And so there's a time when all of us as children are to obey our parents. But even after that time of obedience is done, when we've started our own families, that honor is still a present element. It's still a weighty matter in our families. And the motivation to keep this command comes from a couple of sources in verse 3, that it might be well with you, and that you may enjoy long life on earth. It reminds us of how the Proverbs talk about wisdom and about how that impacts our lives, that if you do this, you'll have a long life on earth. It's a principle, not necessarily an ironclad guarantee of how long you're going to live, but it's a principle that says if you keep this in mind, things are going to go well. And this principle is reinforced all throughout Scripture. So in Leviticus chapter 19, Verse 3, God reminds them, "Every one of you shall reverence his mother and his father, and you shall keep my Sabbaths. I am the Lord your God." Do you see that close connection between honoring God and honoring parents? Not only are you going to honor your father and mother, but you're also going to keep my Sabbaths. Proverbs 15 reminds us that a wise son makes a father glad, but a foolish man despises his mother. In other words, if you want to see what wisdom looks like loving and appreciating your parents. And even in the New Testament, when you have these lists of things that are wicked ways of living and show that you're not doing what's right, you'll have lists with terrible things on it. Sometimes they'll include things like murdering and stealing, but you'll also have on that list disobedient to parents. Romans chapter 1 mentions that as well as 2 Timothy 3. In other words, for God's people, this is not the norm. Dishonoring, disobeying parents is not the norm. It's honor that is. And this is not just for sons, but for children. Did you notice at the beginning of verse 1 of chapter 6? Even though girls were not often trained in the first century, it's still significant that Paul goes out of his way to address all children. If you understand how to obey, it's important that you understand the responsibility of honor. But on the flip side of that, he also provides instructions for how parents can teach children honorably, can lead them honorably, in a way that doesn't incite anger. Especially in the first century, in a culture that was still primarily patriarchal, fathers had a great deal of power and authority. But Paul reminds them here that children were not their possessions. They were not to be used in a way that was not loving, that was not wise, that was not kind. Both parents could go beyond requiring obedience and even abuse their authority, but that's not the pattern that we see here. One chapter earlier, in Ephesians chapter 4, we're reminded that you don't be angry with each other, and that also includes children. One of the reasons we think about mothers on this day is because it's important to honor those to whom honor is due. But I also think about the end of Proverbs 31. What happens when this worthy woman is described? That her children rise up and call her blessed. There's something powerful about showing honor, about modeling honor. And if I'm looking for a pattern for godly family living that's going to stand out from the world around me, maybe I should be looking for families that honor each other. So we ask the question, how do we treat each other? That tells me what level of honor that I'm at in my family. But then there's something else that Paul mentions in this passage, which is, how do we live? What kind of discipline is there? What kind of discipline is evidence? Discipline is not easy, but it is necessary. The way Hebrews chapter 12 describes the discipline of a father in verse 7 is this way. It is for discipline that you endure. God deals with you as sons. For what son is there whom his father does not discipline? But if you are without discipline, of which all have become partakers, then you are illegitimate children and not sons. Furthermore, we had earthly fathers to discipline us, and we respected them. Shall we not much rather be subject to the Father of spirits and lived? For they disciplined us for a short time as seemed best to them, but he disciplines us for our good, so that we may share his holiness. Now there's a principle that's described here that I think we can understand on a physical level, but sometimes we forget to apply on a spiritual level. We understand the importance of parents disciplining children. And that doesn't always mean just punishment, but in the general lifestyle. What are the expectations? What are the responsibilities? What are we supposed to do? And yes, when necessary, what kind of punishment might there be? But it's designed, that discipline is designed to provide boundaries that are really helpful. And so we know that those boundaries for children aren't limiting. They allow them to flourish. It's important. And so we've probably had conversations. You may have had conversations with your parents when there was going to be a punishment for a specific action. right? That this is going to hurt you a lot more than it's going to hurt me. And it's hard to understand that as a child. You think, I'm the only one being affected by this. But discipline is challenging for parents as well. And yet it's necessary. Now, as we think about that physical principle that we're pretty familiar with, we sometimes forget to apply it spiritually. Because today it would be much easier to say, spiritually, I just want to follow the path of least resistance, and I just want to kind of go with the flow of whatever culture is telling me. The boundaries that we associate with the law of God seem constricting to our culture, seem like they keep us in, and yet it's those same kinds of boundaries that will allow us to flourish. It's not just discipline we need in this life. It's discipline we need in preparing for the next life. It's a spiritual discipline. And so it's significant when he writes to fathers and says, here's how to bring your children up in the discipline and instruction of the Lord. That's what's specific there. And can I tell you, it's challenging for me to read this passage. And it's challenging to preach on this passage because sometimes you feel like, boy, if I stand up here and read this, it's going to come off as if somehow I think that I've got this all together or that I do this perfectly in my family. And you won't have to look very hard to find my faults and mistakes and that kind of thing. We're just a family along with everyone else seeking to serve God. We're trying to allow God's word to speak to us. But can I just challenge us for a few moments this morning, that when the opportunity is here for Paul to tell Christians in a culture that valued a lot of different things what really mattered, that God's word says specifically what matters is the discipline and instruction of the Lord. Nowhere here do we see a responsibility for parents that if you really truly want to do what's right and if you truly want to be the best parent you possibly could, you make sure that your children have a lot of physical wealth. Make sure they're set up for the right track for physical success. Now, it's natural for us to want our children to have more than we did, and it's good for us. It's a blessing for us to be able to help our children in so many different ways. But setting them up for earthly success was not the top priority here. Doesn't mean it's bad. We want them to be successful. It just means that's not at the top of the list. It also doesn't say anywhere in Ephesians chapter 6 that the responsibility for parents above all else is to make sure children have a perfect GPA, to make sure you're making all the right grades. Please hear me say, grades are important. I want to say that for the record so I can cut this out and clip it. I never said grades weren't important. I'm just saying if all of these options to choose, Scripture says discipline instruction in the Lord is what matters the most. Nowhere here does it say the goal and the end responsibility of parents is to make sure that they're incredibly successful in whatever hobbies they decide to pursue, that they're the best ones at whatever sport they're playing, or they're the best ones that have this success in this area, this specific play that they're doing, or performance that they're giving, or activity or team that they're on, whatever those are. And those are good things. I love watching our children play sports and be involved in their projects. But when that could possibly have been listed here, it's not listed. What's listed is the discipline and instruction of the Lord. And so the challenge that I have as a parent, the challenge that all of us have, is to say, okay, if I were to line up my priorities, if I were to line up how I'm spending my time and how I'm spending my money, are my priorities lining up with Ephesians chapter 6? I think that's a challenge for us to remember how important the discipline and instruction of the Lord is. So not only do I have to think about spiritual discipline, I have to think, okay, how am I living? I have to think about instruction. Well, what do we know? What am I teaching? We understand the importance of learning milestones in life. I can remember especially when we first went to doctor's appointments when our children were very little and they start asking these milestone questions, you know, and they'll say, well, are they talking? And you say, yes. And how many words do they know? And then I was always kind of crumbling under the pressure. I was thinking, okay, well, how many do they know? Do I have the right number? If I say it too low, you know, if I say it too high, is that wrong? And so usually Catherine handled those questions and was able to get through that. But it's a challenge, right? Those milestones are important because we understand the development of our children. We want to meet with teachers of our children and see, okay, how are they doing in class? What milestones are we at? We want to be in touch with doctors of our children and say, okay, are we going where we need to go? Is everything progressing? And we're reminded here of the importance of spiritual milestones. Do our children know what they need to know? The instruction of the Lord, is that coming through in their life? Is that soaking in? That's why I think it's such a blessing to see when parents have children in worship, and I'm especially thinking of those of you with young children, and those I know even on Mother's Day, there are mothers going through a phase of life where you might not even be able to hear me right now. It may be later on you have to watch this on YouTube to hear it or something, because you're dealing with keeping children together and keeping everything that needs to happen during a worship service. And sometimes you're on the way home thinking, I don't even remember anything that happened in there. I was just trying to help our children get through service. It's a reminder to me of just how powerful what you are doing matters. The instruction that you are giving your children are things they'll never forget. Chances are, especially at a young age, they're not going to remember much of the sermon today. I mean, sometimes there are times a few days later I have a hard time remembering what the sermon was, but they'll never forget that you prioritized coming to worship. They'll never forget that you're here and that this was a priority. It's such a powerful lesson to live. And even though this is probably a season of your life, if you have small children, you're not able to do everything you'd want to do in worship and in ministry, you are ministering to children. We've often heard the phrase, every member is a minister, because that's true. Ministry means service. Every member of the Lord's body is a minister. And when we think about the ministry that parents have with children, what a blessing, what a responsibility for that instruction to be giving. And we also realize that children tend to learn things whether we mean to teach them or not. Isn't that a challenge for us as parents? Sometimes our children might pick up on things that we didn't even mean for them to pick up on. So they see how valuable our relationship with God is. They see that in the way that we live. They see how valuable Scripture is. Do we talk about God's Word? Do we think about it? Do we study it? They see how valuable we think the church is. Do we try to help others? Are we prioritizing being brothers and sisters in the body of Christ? They see how important worship is. Is that something that we want to be part of and we want to make sure that we're here to worship God together? Those are things we teach without even meaning to. They're going to see that. What kind of instruction is going to be there? I like the fact that when we get to 2 Timothy, it seems that Paul's towards the end of his life and he's writing to Timothy and he asks him to bring the books, especially the parchments. In other words, even having been trained the way Paul was trained, having been used by God the way Paul was used, even towards the end of his life, Paul wasn't done learning. He wasn't done growing. There was work that he was going to do. And no matter how long we've been Christians, no matter how long we've sought to lead our family in the right way, we never stop learning. We never stop growing. So if I'm looking around to try to find characteristics of godly families, honor and discipline and instruction, those are qualities that I'm going to be seeking out. I don't know what voices we're tempted to listen to today. It's probably different for different ones of us here. But I do know the temptation we have to listen to novel voices. What's a new idea? What's something new? What's something different? And the words of Scripture remind us this morning that while it's always good to grow and to learn, that the voice of wisdom that's familiar to us, Scriptures that we know well, those are going to be what guide us. God's voice is going to be what helps us navigate any challenges that we might face. And yes, if we want to model our lives this way, we'll probably stand out from some of the families around us, but that's always been the case. If we have a mind that's renewed by God's word and we're focused on doing what he's called us to do, we're going to be able to have the strength to make it through. It may be here that you need to make the decision to become a child of God this morning. We've already celebrated, as Jerry mentioned, with Carson, with Steve. We've had two individuals just in the last few days become members of the body of Christ. And it may be that today is the day you make that choice to put Christ on in baptism and begin living for him. It may be that there's some prayer requests that you have that you'd like to share with us. Right after this worship time, right through that doorway, there'll be a couple of elders who'd love to sit down and to talk with you privately if you'd like, or you could share that with the whole church family. Sometimes standing up for the Lord means standing out, but as we seek to serve him, God walks with us every step of the way. If we can help you in any way this morning, please come as we stand and as we all sing together.